What a wonderful testimony, is it not? Yes? Yes. Okay. Well, as was announced just now, the meditation for this morning is entitled Being a Church in Missions. I think we know that the church's mission is to present Jesus Christ to the world, while he himself presents to the same world his rescuing work in and through the church. So by way of the sermons in this month of November, our congregation at St. Andrew's is presented with both the privilege and the responsibility of being a church in missions. So you will recall that in the first sermon for this month, entitled Cathedral, A Diffusing Light, our vicar, Terry Wong, took us back to Pentecost Sunday in 1856. Now that was a very long time ago when St. Andrew's Church was just a composition of about 120 members, mostly of British descent. But that congregation was convinced that in spite of itself, St. Andrew's must become a missionary congregation, a center of diffusing to others the light and comfort and peace of the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. So the St. Andrew's Church mission was started, and that resulted in Anglican parishes, Anglican schools, Anglican community services, hospitals, and so on. In the second sermon for this month, that was entitled Living in Their Midst. And you will recall that our missionary who has been serving in Bolivia, South America for 24 years, Bishop Rafael Samuel, he explained to us that missions is doing God's work the way Jesus did. And Jesus Christ, our missionary par excellence, he left heaven, came down all that distance to live among us, and then laid down his life for us. In the third sermon, that was just last Sunday, it was called Birthing New Churches, the Reverend Bertram Cheong, priest at one of our church's satellite centers, he sought our support to establish a new church hub in Jurong. And those of you who are Singaporeans, you will know that Jurong is in the western part of Singapore. And if you can see the map, you'll see that in that part of Singapore, you don't find those red crosses. This is an area where there are no Anglican church buildings. And apart from the sermons this month, we have become more acquainted with our cathedral missions ministries. Romeo led us just now to pray for them. And notes and videos on these are in the cathedral bulletins, the cathedral website, and those of you who are smartphone savvy, you would have downloaded by now the St. Andrew's Cathedral SG app, and you can find the videos and reports all down there. So we have been encouraged also this month to give to the missions work of the wider Anglican community, that's the Diocese of Singapore. We were asked to give him 100. And with regards to our own cathedral church, we have also looked at the fraction of our church income that is spent on missions. So we have done all of that. And this morning, I have been asked to share with you some lessons that I have learned. I, as a fellow member of St. Andrew's with you, who participate in the missions work of our church. So if you look inside the bulletin at the handout there, I have penned down 3 points on what I have learned, and I would like to share this with you. Firstly, that in missions work, we have to be in touch with the poor. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh is actually a line taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 9. And this is a scripture which is often read during the Christian season of Lent. Those of you who've been around in the church for many years, you know this. And in the Lenten season, some Christians engage in the spiritual and good discipline of fasting. Yet here in this scripture, God's word tells us that there is more to fasting than just abstaining from food. So the passage is in our handout. May we read this together now. Let's go. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Let's pause for a little while and see that here the prophet Isaiah describes the fast that God has appointed for his people, that it involves reaching the poor and needy and to helping them. Let's read on now, verses 8 and 9, and see the wonderful results of such a fast. Let's go. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Isn't that wonderful? And in 2001, through two events on a single day and in the season of Lent, I was led to a maturing and liberating experience. That day, I learned that God has a very special place in his heart for the poor. And for us to do God's work, we have to be in touch with the poor. If you look again inside your bulletin, you'll find an information leaflet on Project Khmer Hope. PKH is the cathedral's work in Cambodia, and it's a good work to help the poor out of poverty and to bring the Cambodian people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I must say that I am very honored to be participating in this work. But you know, until 2001, whenever I was in Cambodia for this work, I ate only in coffee shops and air-conditioned restaurants for the reasons of hygiene and security. I never ate at the roadside stalls. I didn't fancy eating at open places, especially because we would be plagued by beggars and street kids. But on one particular trip that year, a Chinese-speaking missionary couple invited me to dinner, and they took me to a famous stall to eat la mian noodles and Chinese dumplings. So together with their little daughter, I think 5 or 6 years old at that time, we were seated at a table by the roadside. Shortly after we were served the food, 3 scruffy street kids appeared at our table, and they had come to beg. And I froze in apprehension. I didn't know what to do. And I refused to look at those begging children. I couldn't bear to do it. The host couple gave thanks for the food, and we started to eat while the street kids stood by the table. And it was most disconcerting for me. And as we were eating our noodles, the little girl, the couple's daughter, she took the common plate of dumplings and offered it to me, and then to her parents. We each took one. And after she herself had taken her share, I think there must have been another 16 or so dumplings left on the plate. And then to my surprise, my very pleasant surprise, this little girl took that plate of dumplings and offered them to the street kids. She spoke to them in Mandarin. I don't think those kids understood her. But she politely addressed them as 哥哥, 姐姐, meaning elder brother, big sister, and she asked them to help themselves to the food. And it looked like she had done this many times before because she knew exactly how to do it. And as for her parents, they didn't even bat an eyelid. The kids took the dumplings, went to a corner, squatted there and ate. And we continued our dinner and our conversation. So I'm not sure what you are thinking, but that day I was thoroughly embarrassed at myself. The holy deaconess in Cambodia to share God's love and to be involved in the church's humanitarian project was learning from a very young child how to simply and personally relate to the poor and needy. And she did not hide from her own flesh. I was on a very sharp learning curve during that trip because the next day, my team and I had to cross the Mekong River to reach a remote province. We came to the river crossing where we usually would have to wait a very long time for the ferry barge to come. So it was an open place and crowded. All sorts of people were there. Some were waiting in the sun just to get on the barge. Others, like us, waiting in our aircon vans before our vehicles drove on board. And there were even more people just milling around. Some were selling things, all sorts of things, drinks and exotic things in Cambodia, boiled turtle, fried grasshopper, crispy scorpions, and very small units of things, sticks of cigarettes, pieces of chewing gum. Many who had nothing to sell, amputees who had no limbs to show, they would simply be begging. Mothers with scrawny babies in their arms would press their faces against the windscreens of the vehicles. They would beg and sometimes cry. So we had come to this crossing a few times before, and we knew exactly what to do as the van approached the ferry point. We locked the doors, and while waiting in the van, we would be reading or doing something, but we would not look up and we would not look out the window. No eye contact, because we wouldn't know what to do, and we are afraid. So I rationalized it this way. You know, there are just so many of them poor people. You help one, and more will come. And what will you do? And besides this, isn't this a social problem for the Cambodian government to deal with? Is it really our problem or our privilege? But that day, as I was waiting in the van, I sensed the Lord speak to me through this popular Lenten passage. I sensed He said, "I did not hide from you. Do not hide from your own flesh." Coupled with that, I had an unsettled stomach and I had to make my way to the restroom. And after that, as I made my way back through the crowd and with the help of a Cambodian staff, I found myself interacting with the hawkers, with the beggars, buying, sometimes just giving, and talking with them. I asked them about their families and I asked them why they were poor. So they told me their stories. Of course, they are stories, and sometimes just stories. But I found myself talking with them. And when I couldn't buy or give anymore, I just gesticulated and said, "Sorry, no more." And you know, friends, the poor can understand that. That day, I learned a lesson. God helped me not to hide from my own flesh. A church in missions. What does it mean to be a church in missions? You know, I believe it is not about clever evangelism programs, good as they may be. I also believe that they are not even about well-run projects to help the poor. Being a church in missions is about each one of us in the stations of life where we are, given our personal styles and preferences. If we are relating to those in need, to those who are poorer than ourselves, are we in touch with them? Are you in touch with the poor? And do we treat them with dignity? And also as people who are made in the very image of God. I'd like now to ask Dinah Tan to come and read a testimony. This is a testimony of Mrs. Cheryl Tan, who grew up in the cathedral, married to Joel. Cheryl is away on work, and Joel can't be with us because he's serving at the 11:30. So the next best person is the mother. So we're going to ask the mother to read Cheryl's testimony to us. So Dinah, please.
Cheryl is 28 and the mother is still doing things for her. But it's a joy and a privilege. I thank God for the work that he has done in the life of my daughter, and I give him glory for what she's doing now in her life. I remember listening to a sermon about how God commands us to serve the poor and needy in our midst, and thinking to myself that I had strangely never considered that as something a Christian in Singapore needed to do much of. In my mind, poor and needy was often associated with overseas missions. I generally thought of my Christian duties as being focused on doing my work excellently, uprightly, serving in church, loving and caring for my friends, colleagues, family, telling them about Jesus when I can. I don't suppose those are less important, but I somehow seldom considered the needs of others beyond my circles of work, church, friends, and family. Who are the poor people around me? Do they exist? One day, as I was walking down Orchard Road, I noticed how, having spotted a couple of tissue sellers ahead, I subconsciously plotted my route to avoid them. On the way home that same day, an old uncle I vaguely recognized from my block hobbled towards me and asked if I wanted to have dinner with him. I instinctively greeted him politely, but quickly refused and hurried off. As I walked away, I felt a terrible tugging in my heart as I realized how the poor were in fact all around me, but I had never thought twice about who they were or what they might need. It was instinctive for me to avoid, to be suspicious, and then to occasionally feel bad, but so quickly brush it off. I couldn't imagine Jesus ever doing that. Surely, what I was doing did not demonstrate God's love, care, or compassion. Troubled, I asked the Lord to change my heart and to teach me to do otherwise. Soon after, I started to notice that same uncle sitting at the void deck by himself almost every day, just staring into space most of the time. Since I had turned his invitation down before, I decided I should ask him to lunch one day. I was amazed at how quickly we became friends, even though my Mandarin was and is less than ideal. I learned about his life and shared about mine. I began to understand his struggles with health, family, and finances, and saw small ways I could be of help. For example, he was rather unstable on his feet, so buying lunch back to our block instead of walking out to the hawker center would save him the long walk and risk of falling. Explaining his meal to him or accompanying him to the bank could also save some time, confusion and frustration with various administrative everyday tasks. But most of all, I saw how having a friend to talk to or joke with just brightened up his day. Through our conversations, we've had the chance to talk about church and Jesus, and I pray that Uncle will know Jesus as his friend and father one day soon. I thank God that he's shown me little new ways to love those around me and given me a new friend in the process too. Imagine if each of us befriended one person in need today. How many more people would experience Jesus' love, care, and compassion and receive the invitation to be a part of his family? Thank you.
So being a church in missions, we have to be in touch with the poor. Let's come now to the second point that I'd like to share with you. And this is a point that calls us not to worry about the outcome, but instead be joyful in displaying the Lord to other people. The Old Testament passage today was read from Ezekiel chapter 33. And by the way, I think the reading by the two children this morning was excellent. Don't you think so? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it tells us that God had appointed Ezekiel as a watchman for the people of Israel. And as a watchman, Ezekiel was commissioned to warn the wicked to turn from their ways. So those who do would be saved, those who do not would die in their sins. And Ezekiel's mission was to bring God's message to the people. And provided he spoke the message that God gives him, we note from this scripture that Ezekiel was not responsible for the results. He was only responsible if he failed to give the warning. Those are the terms for being a watchman. So friends, in the same way today, we are called as a church to bring the message of Christ to people, giving them an opportunity to turn to Jesus. And it's always wonderful when they respond positively to the invitation of the gospel, and of course, very disappointing when they do not. However, we do not take the burden of their decisions on our own shoulders. We're not called to do that. And therefore, we do not need to fret. We can be joyful in holding the Christ light out to people in a dark world and simply display the Lord to them. You know, this article was in the Straits Times very recently on 17th November. How many of you read it? Nowadays, don't read newspapers, only read Facebook. Leonardo da Vinci's portrait of Christ, which was sold for the equivalent of 81 Singapore dollars in 1958, was just auctioned off at a record 611 million Singapore dollars. When I read it, I thought, whoa. And wondered what that buyer saw in the painting. To him, it is a most exquisite piece worth those hundreds of millions. Then as I looked at the portrait, I also wondered how such a valuable work of art would be displayed. What kind of nail would be good enough to match the value of such a glorious display? Would it be a small iron or steel nail? Or perhaps a nail of gold or diamond to complement the value of that art? What do you think? Oh, we never think about these things. But does it matter what that nail is made of? Of course not. For the matter is not about the nail, it is about the portrait. As for the nail, what matters is if it will hold up that portrait and not let Jesus Christ down, literally. So friends, similarly, being a church in missions is not about any one of us or any one missions ministry. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about our age, as we have already heard. It's not about our giftings, our abilities, our finances, or our inadequacies. It is about the glory of Christ. And as for you and me, like that little nail, our joyful mission is to display Jesus Christ to people. And it is so wonderful to know that there are ordinary people from our church congregation who, with their kind acts and good works, joyfully display the glory of the Lord to people. We have heard Yao Ling's testimony, and I think it's a wonderful testimony. Very often we have this stereotype thinking that missions is okay lah, for those fanatics, for the young ones, for those who like to jump and scream, but we're beyond that. Many of you will know Mr. Lim Keng Boon, Mr. and Mrs. Lim Keng Boon. Keng Boon and his wife Bee Ling have been cathedral members for very many years, and they usually worship at the 7 a.m. service. Mr. Lim is a retired principal of Anglo-Chinese School, and Mrs. Lim passed on into glory just a few weeks ago at the beginning of this month. And a few years ago, this couple approached me to say that they wanted to serve in the cathedral's missions work in Cambodia. But given their age, they were not sure how they would go about it. And to be frank, I also was not sure how I could facilitate that enthusiasm. But I noticed that in a very short time, they had taken practical steps. They started to read up on the country, and so they could pray intelligently for the people, and they started to give money to the work of PKH. And when they came to learn that the youths at the PKH Center were so desirous of learning how to play musical instruments, Bee Ling presented them with a beautiful electronic piano set, very much like the one that we have in front here. And in 2014, 3 years ago, this couple took a four-day exploratory trip to Cambodia, very much like the one that Yao Ling and Alfred went on last year. And I remember that together with a few others, there in Cambodia, we celebrated King Boon's 80th birthday. And at that function, he said that at my age, I have very little use for money and birthday gifts. And so he pledged and he gave to the mission all the birthday presents he received at his grand 80th celebration back home here in Singapore. And a few months later, in 2015, Keng Boon spent a full month living and teaching at the PKH Center. And he taught them English, but more than that, King Moon exemplified for those 120 youths at that center the love of a father. Many of those youths don't have fathers, and if they do, often they are not good fathers. King Boon told them his life story, one of poverty, also of providence. King Boon told them about God and God's love for people. So even today, the youth as well as the staff, they remember King Boon. He left them a good example of the faith. So being a church in missions. You know, we often have something to say about people who are visibly different from us and who are not members of the cathedral but present in our grounds on a Sunday like today. They come to picnic on our cathedral grounds. They make use of the church's toilets, and mostly they are foreign workers from Myanmar. And sadly, sometimes our comments about these people are unkind and uncalled for. But we are glad that from among us, there are some good people who recognize that it is the Lord who guides these sojourners into our compound. We don't have to go out on missions. The Lord sends them to us. And so they make an effort to host them, to help them, and to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Miss Mechu is one such person. She also is a retired principal of St. Margaret's Primary School. And she has been a member of this cathedral for also very many years. She's usually at the 11:15 service. And May spends her Sunday afternoons at the container area. As you drive in, you see the rubbish dump and the containers in the south lawn. She is there. She eats with the Myanmar nationals. She sings with them. She lends them a listening ear. And she teaches them to read and to speak English. At other times, May can be found among people who have served their time behind bars. And she knows them because she visited them when they were in prison. So May worships with them, often using Hokkien songs, eats and have fun with them, and they turn to her for counsel. I once commended May Chu for her charitable works, which very few of us know. And May simply said, she enjoys the honor of bringing people to Christ and showing them God's glory. When I thought of the nail holding up the portrait of Jesus Christ, I thought of May and many others. Thirdly, a lesson that I have learned in being a church in missions is to simply remember and be like Andrew. Today is the 26th of November. In 4 days' time, Thursday, will be a special day where Christians remember Andrew that we heard about in the gospel reading just now. Thursday is St. Andrew's Day. Andrew, a fisherman, was Jesus' first disciple. And when he followed Jesus Christ, the first thing that Andrew did was to bring his brother, Simon, to meet Jesus. Simon, also called Peter, went on to become one of the greatest apostles of Christ. When we read the Bible, we don't read very much about Andrew. But in the few things about Andrew, we see an example which is most meaningful to ordinary folk like you and me. Ordinary church members who don't have special gifts and who don't have leadership responsibilities in the church, yet having a zeal, a desire to bring people to Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to conclude today's meditation by telling you a true story. This is a story about William Colgate, that when he was 16 years old, he left home to make his fortune. Everything that William owned was in a backpack when he headed towards a riverboat. And William's story was simple. His father was too poor to care for him, and the only trade he knew was soap and candle making. So he was off to the big city to make a living. Now, the captain of the riverboat was a Christian, and he befriended William. And when he heard William's story, the captain encouraged him, saying, "Someone will soon be the leading soap maker in New York. It can be you as well as anyone else. Be a good man, William, and give your heart to Jesus Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to him. Make an honest soap." William heeded the captain's advice, and when he arrived in New York, he joined the church and started working for a soap manufacturer. In a short time, he was part owner of that soap company, and then later on, the sole proprietor. He paid his tithes from the beginning, and as his enterprise prospered, he dedicated 20% to Christ. His prosperity continued, so he gave half his income to God. And after becoming a wealthy man, he surrendered his entire salary to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful story about William Colgate? The soap and toothpaste manufacturer that was first to put toothpaste in a tube. So friends, tonight or tomorrow morning, the next time you brush your teeth and squeeze that tube of Colgate, would you remember William's story? But more than that, would you remember the captain, the man who made Jesus Christ known to Colgate? Now, we don't know the captain's name. I'm sure God does. We don't know his name, but church, you and I, we know our name, St. Andrew's. So may the Lord bless us today. So just like Andrew, you and I, being a church in missions, may very simply, naturally, joyfully, and zealously bring others to Jesus Christ. Amen.